Let's see what happens. I've never had my own NFL team, and I kind of adopted the Jags to my own dismay. But we'll see how that turns out this year. The eye test is they look a little bit better, but will they be, you know, 3 wins, 2 wins this year? It's a roll of the dice. Five? We're going for five? Seven? Super Bowl. All right, back to welcome. My name is Leonard Small. I'm Leonard Small. Let's get back on topic. All right, Leonard Small. I'm welcome to Emmaus Church. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. Inside of your church bulletin, there's this little white slip of paper. Our ushers will be coming by. If you can just let us know that you are here. I see a lot of new faces, or I'm losing my mind. But we've got a lot of new faces, and just let us know you're here. We're not asking much from you today. Just fill this out. Let us know you're here. If you have any prayer requests, please put that on there. Also, today we're going to be praying for one of my friends named Mark Dickerson. His church is Journey Church Amazing Life Campus. It's right down here in the movie theater across from 1122. They meet there on Sunday mornings. We're going to be praying for his church, because how many churches there in Jacksonville? There's one church, and we're one family, so we're going to be praying for our family not even 3 miles down the road. All right, so let us go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for blessing us this morning, allowing us to take another breath. See another sunrise, Lord God. Let us be thankful for the little things so that we may also praise you in the big things, like giving us a home to live in, jobs, just the things we can kind of not even think about, Lord God. But let us look at those things and worship you, because you're the one who give them to us grace, out of your grace. So we just thank you. We thank you for the money we're about to receive for building your kingdom. We ask that we use it in a way that brings you glory. Pray for Journey Church Amazing Life Campus that is right down the road from us. We pray that you give them the resources, the leadership, and all they need, all the things they need as a new church plant in that part of town to build up the kingdom. And we just thank you for all these and many other blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! Coffee kicking in, right? Woo! All right, Mom's Group inside of your church bulletin. Ushers come forward. We'll go ahead and start taking up the offering. Inside of the church bulletin, there's some things, key points I want to hit. First thing is the Moms Group. They'll be starting back up this Tuesday, September 15th, from 9 to 11. Child care will be provided, and the contact information for Marcy Nabalski is in there. Children's Ministry, today again, 3rd through 5th grade, if you want need child care, they're doing that today. And they also need more child care workers back there in the Children's Ministry, so if you're interested, Shantae's contact information is in there. Also, tonight, not Wednesday, but tonight, the Engage class, we're meeting at 6:30 here at Emmaus, talking about engaging the body of Christ, finding out ways how you can take what God has blessed you with, gifts and talents, and use them for the betterment of God's kingdom in this part of town for this family. Amen? New Ladies Bible Study starting soon. It'll be run by our very own Roxanne Cucci. I'm about to say First Lady. She would probably throw something at me. She's not here, right? My wife doesn't like that term either. So Ladies Bible Study starting soon. It's going to be a 7-week study. All the information is in there, their address. You can also, she has the ISBN number for the book. Make sure you look at that. Either you can give her the money or you can purchase it on your own. All right. Young Lives, a ministry that is near and dear to my heart. Well, quick plug for them. I know I'm not supposed to be going deep into detail, but really one of the ministries I really love. They cater to and they serve teen mothers, right? So if you're interested in serving teen mothers, all that information is in there. They meet on Monday nights, and if you have Monday nights, if you can come on out, either give words of encouragement, come hold a baby, it'd be greatly appreciated. Amen. We will also be having our churchwide fellowship dinner October the 14th. That's a Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about vision for the future and what we're going to do for our midweek get-togethers. God bless.
Even if I'm not the one doing the surgery or the nurse that's, you know, taking care of the patient, I know that I'm the one providing the power that keeps the air conditioning going and keeps the lights on. to be able to do that job, doing what I know God has called me to do. Because being here and doing what I know He's asked me to do, the fulfillment He gives me, I couldn't go and make enough money to buy anywhere else.
Good morning, everybody. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Howard. And we're starting something new here at our services. We're calling them Mission Moments. And what we're trying to do here is to help you guys plug in and learn about all the different things, all the different missions that we support. We often talk about our goal of trying to have 50% of what we bring in go back out. But as Vic and I were talking about this, I don't know where all those places are at. Who are we supporting? What are we doing? And there's 25 plus missions that we support. Isn't that amazing? We sang this morning about the Holy Spirit. We sang about how the Holy Spirit lives within us, lives within me, lives within you, lives within Tom. Tom is actually part of our family. He was through the Grace Church, Grace Fellowship. And so they're part of us. We're one family. So what we're going to be doing over the next course of the next weeks and months, we're going to be sharing with you different missions. And we're going to be praying for them, because we can't all be like Tom and be an engineer on a ship that sails the oceans to serve people all over the world. Not all of us can make financial donations to all of these different missions, although parts of what we give every week goes to that. But the one thing that we can do, each and every one of us can pray for them. And that's what we're asking us to do in these moments, is to think about who these are, who these people are, become aware of them, and then we're going to pray for them, and specifically about their specific needs. So Mercy Ship, those of you that know a little bit about it, it's a hospital ship that sails the oceans all around the world and provides medical care. But they go far, far further than that. They actually go into the communities and they help them set up sustainable health care, which includes growing food and having clean water and providing basic health care for themselves. But they have critical needs. We just got an email from them, and they have needs for staffing. They're looking for somebody who can be the coordinator of their training. They're looking for an IT person to run their information systems. And they're always, always looking for people who could volunteer or become part of their team for housekeeping. It is a hospital ship. It needs to be clean. They need people there. So there's opportunities there. So you can volunteer. You can make a financial donation if you go to mercyship.org, or we can pray. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Holy Spirit, you live within each one of us. You are here in our presence, in the very soul of our being. And we pray that you will continue to move within us like you moved within Tom that we just saw in the video. We pray that you will meet Mercy Ship's needs, their staffing needs, their monetary needs, and the needs of the people that they serve. Holy Spirit, you're powerful. We love you, and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. Everybody awake? Kind of freaked me out. When Leonard mentioned the NFL, I heard women cheer. No guys. So if some of you ladies would hang out with my wife, you know, and let that rub off on her, I'd really appreciate it. I love Sunday afternoons when it's football season. But not going to go there. What we just saw with Ken and what he does with Mercy Ships is a real encouragement to me, and it ties into with what I'm going to talk about this morning. We've been talking about the kingdom of God and how we as God's children and part of his family function within this kingdom, which is otherworldly, but breaks forth into this kingdom that we live in, this worldly kingdom. And it's a mindset. It's a change of heart that helps us to look at things from a different perspective. And so here's a guy who takes his talent, his gifts, and uses them for God. I mean, he's an engineer. And he's kind of taken that, and now he's on a ship serving, and he does something that's very practical. And I think it's important for us to remember that God can use each one of us, and he wants to use each one of us, and he's gifted us. And it's a matter of us just surrendering ourselves to him and saying, God, however you can use me. Not everyone needs to jump on a ship. Not everyone needs to go overseas. But right here, right now, God, how can you use me? Last week, we had the boys from the Buena Vista Sports Academy. If you weren't here, we're going to put that service up on the website. It should be up there tomorrow. And you can hear just what God's doing in another country and how we've been able to be a part of that as we've given and we've sent people. We have members from our community who now live in Guatemala permanently, and we've seen God do amazing things. Brock Johnson, who's missionary there, he shared with me that in this little village, Buena Vista, where they've gone to, prior to them moving there, okay, they never had a child go to high school. Now, just think about that for a minute. No one go on to high school. Now there's a secondary place of education there, and now there's many of them moving on, okay? As people have given, I mean, it's just changed lives and really changing this culture, which is amazing, and we have an opportunity to do that. When we finished the service last week, Brock challenged us, and he said, you know, the last thing he said to his disciples, and it should echo in all of our hearts, was go and make disciples of all nations, right? Go, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And so what did these guys who were hanging out with Jesus, all right, let's just get real here. Let's take it out of the churchy religious context. These are a group of guys hanging out with Jesus, living with him day in, day out for 3+ years. And they see how he lives. They're taught through his life. And he says to them, now go, make disciples, teach them everything I taught you. And so what's running through their mind? I just can't believe what runs through their mind at that point is go start these things called churches, gather behind four walls, and have a lot of classes that teach people how to live like me and how I taught you. Because he didn't do that with them, right? I mean, he lived life. He taught them through the way he lived and how he loved people. Now, he did sit down on a mountainside and teach the scriptures. So that was certainly a part of it. Teaching is a part of it. But it was also through his life. And I would say that they probably learned more from being with Jesus and living with him than they did from him just teaching the scriptures. Because that was 24/7. And so when we talk about discipleship, the one thing we need to make sure we understand is it's about relationship. They followed Jesus like a disciple would follow a rabbi. And so they watched his every move. Yeah, they listened to what he taught, but they watched his life. And so as we think about what it means to make disciples, it's about relationship, and it's about giving your life to other people. It's about inviting other people into your life. And that's what the church looked like in the first century, and that's what it should look like today. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47 will come up on the screen. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. We're going to begin with this passage this morning. We've gone through this a few times, but I don't think we can ever revisit this enough. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their possessions, or their property and possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let's pray. God, help us as we read your word to understand, God, what it means to live for you, to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of the family of God. God, by your Spirit, bring revelation to our hearts. Help us to examine our hearts and our lives. And God, may it all be for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the early church gathered. And it's amazing when we go through this and look at what their lives were like and how they gathered together. It was more than just coming to an event to hear a message. I mean, they lived life together just like Jesus did with the 12. So it says early on in this passage, it says they devoted themselves, okay, verse 42, they devoted themselves to these things. There's four things that they were devoted to. First one, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Okay, so teaching was important. And teaching is important. And so the Word of God is important for us to grow. We have to have it in our lives. We have to be taking it in. All right, so Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your word, Lord, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path." All right, so here, I mean, when you talk about the apostles' teaching, here we have it. And you'll get some of that on Sunday mornings, okay? And that's important. But that's not all they devoted themselves to. But this is important, to be having moments where you're taking God's word inside of you, letting it impact your heart and your life, change your heart, and it will lead and guide you. It's a lamp to guide your feet. It instructs you as you interact with God's word and the Holy Spirit, who we sang about, lives inside of us. Scripture says that this word was penned by the Holy Spirit through men. So the same Holy Spirit who wrote this scripture lives inside those of us who believe. Okay, the Spirit comes inside, so you can read it. You don't need me to interpret it for you. You can actually read this and ask God, the author, to help you understand it. So every time you approach the Word, I encourage you to do this. Just pray simply, God, help me to understand what you're saying to me. Because some of it does get a little confusing, right? I mean, you get in the book of Leviticus, and you start reading some of that stuff, and you're going, God, what in the world is going on? Or Revelation, jump into Revelation, and you got animals with horns and all kinds of eyes and all kinds of stuff going on. And you're going, God, help me. God, by your Spirit, speak to me. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That was important. But it didn't end there. Okay? It says they were devoted to fellowship. Okay? Now, think about this for a minute. How many of you like fellowship? You got people you like to hang out with, right? And a lot of times in the church, that's what we think of. When we think of fellowship, it's like, man, we got people who we hang with and we just enjoy it. We're all Christians and we hang out. That's good, but I don't think that's what they're talking about here. All right? Because when you look at what happened with these people, like they willingly sold stuff they had to be a blessing to someone else. It had to be more than a group of people who just hung out and kind of liked each other a little bit, had a little bit in common. In fact, the word fellowship, the Greek word there is koinonia. And it literally means willing contribution. All right, so there's something deeper than just hanging out. It's people coming together and taking part and willingly investing in one another's lives. There's interaction that goes beyond just hanging out. And so I want to ask you to think about this, okay? And if you have a pen and a piece of paper, pull that out, okay? Even if you just find a scrap piece of paper around you or you got a bulletin, pull that out. I want you to think through a couple things. All right. Do you have these type of relationships in your life? When you think about people who you would say you have true Christian fellowship with, you have relationships like this with, do you have those? And who are those people? Okay. So if you want to write them down, write them down. If not, at least take a moment. And I want you to just think of those people who you would say you have this kind of relationship where there's encouragement in your walk with God, okay? Take some time and think about it. Because in our country and in our culture, it's not uncommon to have all kinds of relationships, a lot of relationships that are a mile wide and an inch deep, right? People all around us, we got all kinds of friends, but do we have people we're experiencing this true fellowship with? So write down some of those names or think of those names. And now I want to ask you a couple questions. Help you discern whether or not you got this, okay? Do those people who are on your piece of paper or in your mind, do they encourage you to be more like Jesus? So think about that. Do those people encourage you to be more like Jesus? Number two, have you let those people in? Now, when I say that, I mean like, have you let them in? Like, have you opened this up and they really see the real you? Do they know your sin? Because you're a sinner. You're messed up, right? I am too. And we got to be honest with that sometimes. Because it's really easy to put this facade on at church and not let anybody in. But really, do they know your struggles? Do they know your fears? Be real. Now, I'm asking you these questions not so you can report back to me and tell me whether or not you got people in your life like this. I'm asking you so you can seriously reflect on just what's going on in your life and the people who you have around you, and if you're really growing, okay? So, do they know you? Third one, do you ever discuss the Bible with those people? You ever discuss God's truth with those people? And I'm not talking about all the cultural issues that are going on and how Scripture relates to who's going to be the next president or anything like that. Okay, I'm talking about, do you discuss the way this impacts this? Like, your heart, some of the issues that maybe you're dealing with. Do you have those kind of conversations with those people? And then the fourth one, have you ever prayed with those people? Like, have you ever just stopped in a moment and sat before God and prayed with those people? See, those questions, it's not an exhaustive list, but that'll help you to see, you know, you just got some friends you're hanging out with and you enjoy hanging out with them because you got some things in common and they're things you like and they're easy to hang out with. Or do you really have some true fellowship going on? People who are pushing you toward God and helping you live more like Jesus, willing to challenge you when they see something's going on in your life, because they know you enough to know when things just aren't right. You know, is there people in your life who, you know, you hang out with them enough and they go, man, what's going on? Everything okay? Everything okay at home? You know, sometimes you don't want anyone pressing in there, right? Like, hey, give me my space. But we need people like that. If I know that you love me and we have a relationship and you see something in my life, then I'm going to be thankful that you step into that space and talk to me about it and maybe challenge me about it. Because I want to grow. I mean, let's quit playing games. Quit playing church games. Quit playing, you know, everything's great and, you know, I'm a Christian and my life's all messed up. Let's stop playing the games and go, we're all messed up and we all need Jesus and we all need people to push us toward Jesus. So let's open our lives and invite people into that space. That's what the early church did. That's why, you know, when it came time and someone had a need, I mean, they knew that person enough to go, man, I want to help that person. I might actually sacrifice some of my own preference or something that I want to do that might be something fun or something that, you know, that I feel like maybe I've been planning for, whatever, but I see someone in need and I willingly give that up because I want to be a blessing to a brother or sister because I know them, I know their heart, and God moves me to compassionately help. So he goes, okay, the early church, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and then what? Breaking of bread. They shared meals together. Anybody in here like to eat? I mean, come on. That's the one thing you got to love about 9:30. I know it's early in the morning, but we're out by 11. You beat all the Baptists to the restaurants. I mean, come on. You got to love that because a man's got to eat and everyone's, you know. So you go and you could go and eat and then catch the Jags game. I mean, it's nice. A little bit of sacrifice to get up early, but you get here early and what happens? We feed you breakfast, all right? There's food. There's something about sharing a meal together, right? Isn't that true? And I mean, you know, you got friends who make those meals where, you know, the family recipe that's been passed down and you just sit and eat a good meal together. It does something to you. It opens up something. Conversation that happens around the table, you know? It's a fellowship. It's part of that where people who are gathered and God's a part of their life, there's things that happen. We used to, we do these things called, what are those dinners called that we do? Connection dinners, okay? We do these connection, good night, sorry. Getting old. So we do these connection dinners, and we do like 3 or 4 consecutive weeks of just having a meal at someone's house. And it's random people. You kind of sign up, and we say, we're going to meet 3-4 weeks in a row, and we're going to share a meal. Whether you hang out after that or not, you know, that's all in God's hands. Whether you share that meal and go, and you learn enough about each other, go, yeah, we're probably not going to continue this relationship. That's okay. But in those moments, there's things that happen sometimes. And you sit there and you're sure, and you find out things about people. And next thing you know, this guy's got, you know, he loves restoring old cars, and so does this guy. And, you know, these ladies are, and all of a sudden, the Spirit works through like everyday things to connect our lives together. And it happens sitting around a meal, just sharing. I mean, it's really, really cool. I'm going to continue to do that. On October 14th, we're going to do a church-wide meal Wednesday night. Come on out. We'll cook it. We'll serve it. Just sign up out there. Let us know you're coming so we know how much food to have. But we're going to sit around tables and eat some food. Then after that, we're going to talk about a vision we have for some midweek stuff we're going to do coming up. But they shared meals together, and it said including the Lord's Supper. This is where it gets a little interesting. If you come from a background like me, Catholic background, the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper is this, man, it's this really, really holy moment. So much so, like, they carry that cracker on a stick, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, if you drop, I don't know if you guys know this or not, I love my Catholic brothers and sisters, but, like, if you were getting, you know, receiving communion and a piece drops on the floor, I mean, it's really the body of Jesus, so they're instructed they have to take that and go bury it. I'm not making this up. That's what they do. Okay, so it is a holy moment, but let's not forget this. It's Jesus with 12 guys that he's lived life with. They eat a meal, and at the end of the meal, they break bread, and they drink a little wine, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember my life. So how we've all of a sudden compartmentalized this thing to something that I have to administer as a pastor or a priest, you know, and then you can only take of it then, I'm just going to tell you it's not biblical. I'm not saying it's all wrong. It's just not biblical. You can do it that way. There's a reason why we have communion out on either side of the room. If you feel moved by the Spirit, want to go with your family or friend, just to take that bread and drink that cup and remember Christ and the fact that he came and he's going to come again. But here's the question. Have you ever, this might stretch you, have you ever shared the Lord's Supper with some friends outside of this context? Has it ever happened? And you go, man, I wouldn't think to do that, Vic. Like, remember you said I'm a sinner? Like, how am I going to, I can't do that. Listen, I'm a sinner too. Everyone in this room. It says the early church, they shared meals together, including the Lord's Supper, in each other's home. Is there a more beautiful thing to remind us of our relationship with God through Jesus than to sit with your family or with some friends who all have that in common? And have a great meal and laugh and talk about life and enjoy life and then go, man, in the midst of all that, let's not forget, Jesus died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's coming again. We have something to look forward to. And take that bread and take that cup and enjoy that moment. There's probably very few of us in here who have ever done that. But I want to tell you, from what I read from Scripture, I want to release you to do that. Because I think we're missing out on something that God had for us. It's a reminder, and man, if everything happens on Sunday morning, we're in trouble. If our Christianity and your spiritual nourishment really comes down to what takes place here on Sunday morning, we're all in trouble. Because it's about all of life. And God wants to be part of that, and he wants us to have people in our life who encourage us toward him. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you prayed with somebody for more than 2 minutes? Okay? let's not include the blessing at the meal, which is great. Thank God for his provision. That is great. When was the last time you actually sat with somebody in the presence of God and prayed for more than 2 minutes? Now I want you to think about that. And if it's been a long time, I want to ask you why. Like, oh, my relationship with God, it's personal. Okay? I think that's a lie, but let's just go with that for a minute. Okay, when was the last time you sat before God quietly and talked to him for more than 5 minutes at one time? Like, really sat before him, took that moment. See, this culture we live in, we live at like this breakneck pace, so busy. We have to take those times. That's when our hearts get adjusted. That's when, you know, it gets aligned with his truth, and his spirit can just, in the midst of that silence, maybe move us toward the things of the kingdom and let the things of this world kind of take their proper place, which is not in the center of our lives, but should be on the fringes. And to sit with someone who you know and love and to pray together, husbands and wives, families, people who you call those friends. I mean, God, through Jesus, has opened the door. It says we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, whether you're however far you think you are away from God. We're all sinners, but he invites us as sinners to come by his grace through faith to come to him. Almighty God, creator of all things, the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand, he is sovereign, he's in control. Our lives are crazy, out of control. How can we not take that time when he invites us in there? Now, there should be a huge mirror on that back wall, okay? So I'm looking at myself as I preach this, okay? But I want to challenge you in that. Your Christianity means a lot more than you just attending here on Sunday, hearing some good music, singing along, and hearing a message and going, that was a pretty good message, or maybe, yeah, I've heard better, whatever. But leaving and going, okay, now I just go live my life for the week. Now, all of life should be centered around him, because the day will come when we all breathe our last breath and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We've got people here among our congregation struggling with that. I mean, it was right before their face in their family. I have a friend who I got a call this about a week and a half ago. One of the guys who I used to hang out with, and he was one of my friends growing up, and it was my BC days before Christ, and we hung out, we did a lot of partying, all this stuff, and I get a call. I haven't talked to him in 10 years. I get a call from a mutual friend, tells me that my buddy Jim, his mom passed away about a month ago. Mom passes away. A week later, he starts having headaches and his dizziness and thinks it's stress-related and, you know, to everything that's going on with his mom. Goes in to just get checked out because the headaches had gotten worse. They find he has a mass in his brain and go to immediate surgery. And they do a biopsy and find out he's got glioblastoma. If you know anything about cancer, it's the most aggressive form of brain cancer there is. Most people, 12 to 15 months after that point, I think it's 90% of people die within that first year. Just totally out of the blue, healthy, you know, up to that point. And so I called him. We talked yesterday and reconnected. And man, a chance for me to sit there and pray with a guy I hadn't talked to in 10 years, but I love, and to sit and share life and to hear how all of a sudden, man, everything's changed because he has this different perspective on life. Someone puts limits on it, and you go, man, I might only have this long to live. And I just want to throw this out there. What if we all lived a little bit more like that? You know, what would you do if someone said you have 12 months to live? What would you do with your life? Or, you know, a year is actually feels like a long time to us, right? So there's like, oh, there's a lot of things I do. I go to Europe or I do this, hang out with my family. Let's say you got a week. You got 7 days. what are you going to do differently with your life? Now, I know that you go, man, that's crazy because, I mean, that would radically change everything, right? Okay, so I'm not saying, hey, live like that because that would be insane. You'd probably stop working and, I mean, there'd be all kinds of things. But listen, what if you just lived a little bit more like that? What if you thought about those things, it made you think about what's most important, you said, you know what, my heart's going to be a little more inclined toward those things because I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And God's kingdom is real, and that's where I'm going to go for eternity if I know Jesus. God has given us something to give this world. And a lot of us just hold on to that and play it safe. And that's not the life God's called us to. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus, he has just confronted the Pharisees. It's where we read of the seven woes. It's where he's calling out the religious people of that day. The religious people of that day had turned away from God. They're the ones who killed Jesus. So he's calling them out, okay? And right after that, he tells some parables. And parables are basically stories to make a point. His followers, his disciples asked him, when is your coming going to be? Because he said, I am going to come. Be prepared. They said, when is it going to happen and what should we do? And so Jesus responds with these stories, with these parables. I want to read one of these parables to you. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much into the joy of your master. And he also, who had received 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents, and here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you do not scatter, where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to those to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so there's a lot here. But this is a parable. This is a story. It's to make a point. They're asking him what it's going to be like when he comes. He's telling them what it's going to be like. Story is used to communicate a point. Be careful when you're reading parables. It's not something you pick apart and make a doctrine over. You try to get the central point. What is he saying? 2 of the servants who were given a talent from the master, they invested it and with return. And when the master came, they had invested it well, right? And the one, he's got this view of the master that's a little bit weird. Like he goes, man, I knew you were harsh, and so I buried it. So he buries this treasure. And when the master comes, he's not very pleased, right? Now, here's the thing you need to understand in the story. A talent, okay, is not a coin. It's a unit of measure during that time. So there's no coin called a talent. It's a unit of measure. And according to some Bible interpreters and scholars, they say it's about 75 pounds, okay? And so what they would do is they'd measure precious metal that way. So even the one who receives 2 talents, 150 pounds, depending on what that is, if it's gold, silver, there's a a lot of value there, right? 150 pounds of gold, man, we'd be partying right now, right? I mean, it'd be crazy. One received five, one two, and one. And each one, in essence, is given a treasure. And they're expected to do something with it. So the master returns to see what they've done with it. Now, on the surface, it might feel, you know, seem like, hey, this is about money. Like, God's given you everything you had. How do you invest what God's given to you? Your finances, stuff like that. Okay? It can certainly, that principle is certainly there, but I think it's about a lot more than that. Because it's interesting, you know, the way we use the word talent, from what I've read, it's an interesting side note. The definition of the word talent, which means skill or ability, can actually be traced back to this story. That's when it started being used. And so the master gives everyone a treasure, and he says, use it well, invest it well. And so I think that treasure has more to do with our life than it does our money. I mean, God's blessed us. We live in a country, we're all, whether you think it or not, or you believe it or not, we're all rich. We all have abundance. 95% of the world does not live the way we do. But let's put that aside for a minute, okay? God has given us his spirit. We talked about that. We're created in his image. He has given all of us a treasure, gifts, talents, abilities. And he's given those to us to be a blessing to the world. When we look at the world and we look how crazy it is, and we look at places where, you know, some people would tend to say that's a God-forsaken place. You see all this need, and you see all this sin, and you see all this destruction. It's a God-forsaken place. And I don't believe that. I believe God's given a treasure and a gift to all the people who live on this earth. And maybe some of us, have buried that treasure, playing it safe, and we don't do anything, or we do very little for the kingdom of God, and the world suffers for that. See, think about it for a minute. You have been given a treasure from God. What are you doing with that? How are you investing that? Think of that treasure as your life. We talked about it. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. What are we doing with our life today? You've been given gifts. You've been given talents. See, just as much as you need people in your life to push you toward God, there's people out there who need you in their life to push them toward God. Because if you come here on Sunday morning and you think, yeah, I go to Emmaus and they do, you know, a lot of stuff with missions and they want to give 50% away to be a blessing to the world, and you don't give anything toward that, and you think, man, it's great to be a part of this, I mean, you're fooling yourself. You're just not a part of it by association because you showed up. And that might sound a little harsh. I'm just bringing a little reality to things. Or if you go, man, I wish the church, quote unquote, had more stuff for this age or for this. I wish we had these classes. And yet you just sit there wishing we had something and aren't willing to throw in, then what are you looking for? Another place in life where everything is centered around you, the consumer, and it's all about you? Listen, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And he died, and he rose again, and he gives us life, not just so we can be comfortable and one day have eternal life with him. He goes, no, now you have life to give to this world. Be a blessing to the world. There's people all around you who are dying without Jesus. There's people on the other side of the world who are literally dying without food, and you have the ability to do something about that. I've given you a treasure. And you might think, Vic, I don't have much skills or ability. Listen, you at least got one talent. Some got two, some got five. And what are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? Are we using it for him? Because the context of this story is Jesus going, listen, I'm going to return. And they say, what's that going to be like? And he goes, oh, let me tell you what it's going to be like. This is what it's going to be like. The master who's entrusted you and me with this life and with these talents, he's coming back and he's going to go, so what did you do with the investment? How'd you do on that? That's a reality. And I want us to think about that. And you have opportunities here and all around you. Think outside of the box. All right, you might be in church for all your life. You might see the way church, quote unquote, does things. Think outside of the box. How can you contribute to the kingdom? Man, God put something in your heart. I don't care how crazy it might seem to other people. You can invest your life and your talent in ways like the guy on the screen earlier. Tom, he's an engineer. He's just helping the ship to move, right? He's working on the engine, but he's doing it for God. And you can do that right here. So on Wednesday nights, and Levi, wherever you're at, I'm going to ask you to come up. On Wednesday nights, we're going to start doing something twice a month up here where we have a kind of a open campus. We're going to have childcare for the kids. And that's actually, we're going to pay people to do childcare for those times. So if you want to serve, you could serve and actually make a little money if you want to watch kids and be a blessing to them back there. But during that time, we want to make it easy on the congregation as much as we can. So we're going to have childcare back there. And then we're going to have some classes that will help you grow, small groups. But here's the thing. We're not just saying we need this class, this class, this class, and we're going to provide you this list of things to do. We're saying, what do you want to do? How do you want to help? You got a small group that maybe you want to start. You want to teach something. I had one couple come up and say, you know, we have this heart for couples, and we've done this marriage mentoring thing, and we want to do that. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's talk about that. Let's pray about it. So that's going to happen. Small groups that are going to be happening. Some Bible studies. Maybe you just want to come and hang out and meet some people like we talked about earlier. Maybe you want to drop the kids off. Now, this is crazy, out of the box. I don't know how many churches do this, but I'm going to give you the right to do this once in a while. Drop the kids off and go with another couple or two out to dinner and maybe have some of that real fellowship we're talking about. We actually just enjoy some time because you haven't had any time with other people without kids. That's okay. You can do that. See, because it's about growth. It's not about what happens here. It's not about growing the church. It's about us growing, becoming more and more like him. So I want to challenge you with that. So I want to ask you, as we wrap up here, what are you doing with your treasure? It's one of the biggest problems in the world today. There's a whole lot of buried treasure all around. Stand with me. We're gonna close with this song. And as we sing this song, I want you to just think about how you view your life. Because it's really easy to go, you know what? I got so much stuff I got to work on. I really don't have anything to contribute. You've got something to contribute. You're breathing. You're alive. God's put people in your life. And no matter how broken you might feel, how inadequate you might feel, he has given you a treasure, and I want to encourage you to invest that. And so maybe just sit before God and let these things roll around your head and your heart. Talk to him in this moment. Listen to this song. Realize he takes your brokenness and he'll make it into something beautiful, not just for you, but for the world.
Will your grace run out if I let you down? 'Cause all I know is how to run. I am a sinner, if it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. You are a savior and you take brokenness aside and make it beautiful, beautiful. Will you call me child when I tell you lies? 'Cause is how to cry. I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. You are a savior and you take brokenness aside and make it beautiful, beautiful. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. Oh, you are a savior and you take brokenness aside and make it beautiful, beautiful. And make it beautiful, beautiful. I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. You are a savior. You are a savior and you take brokenness aside and make it beautiful, beautiful. And make it beautiful and make it beautiful, beautiful.
God, thank you that you take our broken lives and you put them back together. God, that you entrust to us a treasure that you want us to invest in this world. And God, I pray that we wouldn't sit on the sidelines and hold it, that we wouldn't bury that, but we would take a chance on you, God, that you would use someone like us in different ways to be a blessing to this world. Whether it's a single mom stepping out to invite other moms over and just center that around you in some way, or someone on campus who gathers people together to pray, or someone who just does what they do in everyday life and they enjoy their hobbies and they invite people into that circle and share meals together. And in the midst of it, by your Spirit, God, things come up and conversations happen, and through it you're glorified. God, help us to not divide our lives to where we see these moments as sacred and the rest of it as just secular. And God, help us to see everything as spiritual, every bit of it, God, and surrender it all to you. And it's my prayer that when you come back, and we know you will, or when we die before then and stand before you, you'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you go, I want to share something with you. There's a church that we've been connected with downtown, Pastor Leon, who... he has a church down on Phoenix Avenue, one of the toughest places in Jacksonville. And we helped them renovate a place called the Resurrection Center. And they do outreach from that building and do just a lot of great stuff in that area of our city. That's one of those areas where people would say is God forsaken. But it's not. God's right there in the midst of it. And people have joined God. And they're reaching out and doing some great things down there. And about a year and a half ago, we helped them purchase that building, the Resurrection Center, paid off the mortgage, and we give each month to help that ministry that takes place on the streets down there. The church is struggling. They have two different facilities, the Resurrection Center and the church, and the church is struggling. And I just share all this with you so that I'll probably share it on my Facebook and share. They put a GoFundMe out to help the church. They want to try to pay off the mortgage for the church. And so if you see that out there, I just don't want there to be any confusion, because we talk about how we help pay off this facility for the church. And it was the Resurrection Center facility. Now where they hold their services, they're just having a hard time. I mean, their offerings on Sunday morning, usually about 50 or 75 bucks. You know, I mean, but I mean, if you saw the people they're reaching, I mean, it's prostitutes, drug dealers. It's a rough area down there. So number one, pray for Pastor Leon and for the ministry there. And if it's something you feel, you know, felt inclined to give to, that'll be out there. You'll see it probably on Facebook and our Facebook page, you know, the Emmaus Facebook page. We'll put it out there. But I just want to make sure you understood the situation there if you saw it, because many of you know that we're involved in the ministry down there. So actually, let's pray for him. Let's pray for that area right now. God, thank you for Pastor Leon, who serves down there, doesn't take a salary, just serves and just wants to be a blessing to that community. Thank you for those who've given their hearts to you, lives that have been changed. God, we pray however you see fit to meet every need that they have, God, that ministry can continue and it would be a light in a very dark place. And however we could be a part of that, show us how to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now as you go, let me send you out with a word of benediction. Brothers and sisters on the journey, may you see yourself as significant in God's eyes and in his plan. May you invest wisely that which has been entrusted to you. And may we all be a part of sharing God's love with a world that is in desperate need. God bless you. Peace be with you. We'll see you next time.